3.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. It's Carl and the Bot. Hey, if you're calling from out of the area, phone lines are 1-800-521-1989. Switch over to 1670 if you have a little problem hearing us. It's 10,000 watts. We got a big show today. Got guests. We've got so many things going on, and it's a beautiful day. So, let me see. Which one of these hundreds of people in the studio should I say hello to first? How about Frosty?
Good morning.
How you doing, Frosty?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Are you sad that you're not down there with the pancake breakfast going?
I kind of like being behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know.
I did it last year.
Oh, okay. I know Aaron's down there. We'll probably say hello to Aaron at some point. And, of course, my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
And you're a beautiful woman.
Oh, thank you. And we drove by on the way to work today, lined up. It's so cute. You know, yesterday running around town and doing errands, people really get ready for Rodeo Week. And the community is really, really behind Rodeo Week. And I hope they never get rid of these fairgrounds because I think the rodeo grounds are the coolest homespun thing going on.
Is that why you've been wearing Spurs all week?
Is that why you're wearing Band-Aids?
No, okay. We've got a lot of things going today. We're going to be talking about Schwarzenegger, you know, threatening to take money away from the counties and cities, which, hey, you know what? We do have, since we have an abundance in our budget, we have such an overage in our budget, we should just probably offer up a couple million just by ourselves. And then we're going to talk about the raising of utilities. And we've got a couple other guests coming in today. And we're going to get to the first one right after we take our break.
This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to go out to the rodeo live with Aaron. Aaron's our boss. Aaron, we're jealous. We want some pancakes. How's it going out there?
It's great. There are so many people out here, and you know the great thing is they all have a smile on their face. You really can't help it. The cowbells are streaming throughout the crowd. The tables are filling up, but a seat is always open. You don't have to worry about it, and you never believe how fast the line moves out here. They serve about 10,000 people plus every year at this pancake breakfast, and the line keeps moving, so you don't have to worry about it. If you're heading out to work, you're heading off to school, no matter what you're doing, take the time to stop by the pancake breakfast. We're out here at the corner of Market and Sacramento, Roaring Gulch, as it becomes at this time of year for Rodeo Week. You can't beat the weather. You can't beat all your friends are out here. It's, as we say, each year, it's 10,000 of your closest friends and neighbor out here for the pancake breakfast, and we hope to see you out here in about an hour, Carl and Linda.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay, you know, there's so many things happening, like we said, but the big thing, you know, is next Tuesday we've got the propositions are up for vote, and they're so important for our state. So we continually try to bring in another point of view and everything. So today we've got our hired gun in from Sacramento. His name's Gary Dietrich. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Carl. I appreciate that. I got to tell you guys, I'm down in Fresno right now wrapping up our two-week statewide media tour on these proposition deals, but I sure like to hit that pancake breakfast, man. I love those things.
Well, you know what? This city is such a great city. I don't know when the last time you've been through Reading, but if you haven't been here...
It was just last fall, as a matter of fact. We brought the kids, did the whole Turtle Bay thing. We love it up there.
Fall's a good time up here.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, hey, Gary, one of the things we want to talk about is, and getting you know, another perspective, you know, the ones we have up here, the propositions, and Gary's going to give us both sides as well as much as he can on the propositions. Let's start with the big one there, A.
Yeah, just so people know where I'm coming from here, Carl, I think it's important to always know, who is this dude? President of Citizen Voice, I'm a political analyst based out of the state capitol. Citizen Voice, nonpartisan organization. We just try to get people the straight truth, get them involved in the process, so we have no horse in the race, no dog in the fight. Important to let people know that right up front. Prop 1A, Carl, you know, is the big kahuna next Tuesday. This is the one that would set up a rainy day fund, and they call it kind of a spending cap. Some people say not really. We can get more into that if you want. But bottom line is, it's supposed to limit state spending, even it out over time. The, of course, exchange for this, and this is a tough one for people to swallow, it extends for up to 2 years the current increases on the sales tax, the vehicle license fee, and the income tax increase. And that's a tough pill for a lot of people.
Well, then when we say that it puts a spending cap on it, the money, from what I understand, it goes into the rainy day fund. Is there a way for the politicians, one, to get their fingers into this, because they are a greedy little beast, and two, can they increase the amount of money, they want to have in a rainy day fund, which means keeping the taxes the way they are?
Well, I'll tell you the thing that makes this the toughest, Carl, is that the spending cap, or the so-called limit on this, is based on the state income. What do I mean by that? In other words, if you bring in $110 billion, let's say, this year, you're only supposed to spend X amount. You have to put the rest into a fund. But here's the challenge for people who say they really want a so-called hard spending cap. They'd like to have that based on, say, hey, you can't spend any more than, say, the population of the state increased this year, and maybe the average income of a Californian went up. This says that it's based solely on the actual receipts to the state. So your real hardcore tax advocates say, well, here's the problem. If you just find ways to increase revenues, fees, et cetera, you've increased the pie, therefore the amount you can spend. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. It means that they can keep increasing, and even though they say, oh, we've got a cap here.
So that they are required to put an X amount in a rainy day fund. And what it's based on, Carl, is a rolling average of the last 10 years. So what they're supposed to do is take, okay, here's what the state took in over the last 10 years. You get to spend this coming year the average of that last 10-year spending. That's the way it's supposed to work.
That's the way it's supposed to work, but there's ways around it, just like you said. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, the main one is that, again, we're not taking sides on this, but this is how it can work. The main one is that if people wanted to increase the amount they could spend this year, they would find ways to increase the state's revenue. So they would say, well, we got to increase this tax or fee or whatever it is for the next year, meaning that the following year, of course, the average would go up.
Well, see, that's the fear of everybody, is that once you raise the taxes and then you find ways around for the money to be used and then even more fees to be raised. And so we're not gaining anything here. Even though we've got a spending cap, the spending cap can be raised.
I'll tell you what, probably the best piece of this whole initiative, Carl, is the actual rainy day fund itself. Because, you know, that rainy day fund has been a term that's been thrown around Sacramento for a long time. But it's been, you know, well, there's no requirement about how much you have to put in it. So maybe this year we don't feel like we want to do it. We'll put just $500 million in. Well, in a state budget, you know, we have fire expenses, a lot of things that don't get factored into the budget. When you have big wildfires and all, that rainy day fund gets eaten up a lot. So the idea is this would at least create something of a savings account that the state could dip in when it needed to. That's probably the best idea of this whole proposition.
Well, you know, and I agree, and I think everybody did. I think that was even backed by the Republican side of the legislature, of a rainy day fund to put into it that can't be touched. But then they're also along with that a spending cap. I mean, you've got a spending cap in your family. I've got one in my family. Most everybody has a spending cap. Why doesn't the Congress have a spending cap?
Yeah, well, of course, in Sacramento, they don't have the luxury they do in Congress because, as you all know, the deficit in Washington is going to be over $1 trillion. But they have this little thing called a printing press they can use. Of course, the state's still constitutionally required to balance the budget, and that's why it's so tough in Sacramento vis-a-vis Washington.
Well, I know that, but, you know, it's good for our industry up here in the North State because we're going to have to start up the whole lumber industry again just to be able to print the money that they're spending in Congress.
There you go.
Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hit a couple of the other propositions, and then I want to ask you just your opinion. If, you know, I want to talk about Governor Schwarzenegger cutting more, you know, billions out of education and social services, and the veiled threats, not too veiled, to come down to the counties and the cities to take our money, too. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Today's Ready Record Search Line.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Gary,
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Hey, look, anybody that's got a question for Gary or his organization, it's 221-1402. Let's talk about Proposition 1B.
Yeah, real quick here, let me just let people know that if they want, because we're not going to be able to go over everything this morning, if they want to get the straight scoop on these propositions, we sat down, the top dogs with both sides of these campaigns, Carl, on a TV studio, did many debates. This, they can watch those in video, they can watch them in audio, they can even read transcripts of them. We did easy-to-understand ballot measure summaries. So it's citizenvoice.org, where they can get a lot more stuff than we're going to be able to cover this morning.
That's citizenvoice.org.
Right. Got it. Citizenvoice.org. And we're the only people that have done this. Actually, put two people in the studio, let them fight it out for 10 or 15 minutes. I moderate the chair throwing. Say, give us your best shot on why you think this thing should pass or shouldn't pass. You know, a lot of people, their 63-page voter pamphlet on these six propositions, they got that thing in the mail 3 or 4 weeks ago, Carl.
Yeah.
If they can even find it, how many people do you think are going to read through that thing?
Well, we've talked about this on several occasions. We're trying to get as many people out as we can to vote on this. This is a really important thing, and that's why, you know, we brought you in today as from citizensvoice.org is to kind of give another area people can go to be able to make up their minds.
Well, I commend you for doing that, Carl, because next Tuesday, you know, it's a special election. People are asking, what the heck are we even voting for in May? Well, they know now, I guess. It's because the legislature and the governor put together a budget deal that required voter approval on several of those pieces. But if you don't go next Tuesday and vote, or if you don't send in your absentee ballot, you know this very well, Carl, with a low voter turnout election, you're essentially turning a lot of the direction of the state or special interests who are going to turn their people out.
Well, that's it. And that's the thing that really has frosted our listeners here. And we've got a very savvy group up here. We're paying a lot of money to have these people do a job. And in turn, they turn it back over to us to do it. And you're right. It's a special election. And the special interest groups are going to get out there. You know, they're spending a lot of money to pass these things. And if our people don't get out there, take a look at it, see what's happening to us, it's going to pass. Or things are going to pass that we're going to sit there and say, how did that happen? So.
Yeah, and here's what we say to people, Carl. We understand you're ticked off at the politicians. We understand you think the process is far less than good. But don't shoot the people in the foot. Take a couple minutes. You know, we just call our thing a one-stop shop for election-weary voters. We know people. We've had a statewide election every single year since 2002. We know Californians are sick about it. But don't shoot the people in the foot just because you're sick of the politicians. Take a few minutes. You know, get yourself up to speed. Cast your ballot.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, don't give up. Don't roll over for them. Then they win. Okay. Now, what about what's the next biggest proposition that you all faced?
Well, we'll hit 1B and C real quick because they're the next two biggies here. 1B actually was put on the ballot by the folks in the education community, primarily California Teachers Association. They feel like they've gotten a raw deal. They think they're owed an extra $10 billion under Prop 98, which voters passed, you remember, in 1988. And so they put something on the ballot that says, look, the state's going to have to pay this $9.3 billion back. You're going to have to start it in 2011, and in fact, we're going to set up a 1.5% fund out of general taxes, to make you pay it back. Now, some people, including the legislative analysts on office, said that they thought this $9.3 billion was, in their words, quote, overly generous. So, you know, there's a lot of debate about this, about whether schools ought to be collecting this amount or not, but that's what Prop 1B would do, Carl.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that, again, you know, you might be able to save some money right now, but the potential cost for this is going to go up huge. It's billions of dollars after 2010.
Yeah, you have to pull money out of the general fund to establish this fund to pay this back, which means you got to backfill that somehow. The other thing that Prop 98, and this is an important thing I don't think a lot of voters really understand, you know, like it or not, what Prop 98 does is once you add an amount to education spending, that then increases the floor for the following year.
Well, let me ask a question here. We're running out of time here, Gary. But what about the fact that where's the money that's backing these propositions coming from? I imagine the unions.
For example, on Prop 1B, California Teachers Association have put in about $8 million, all right?
Right.
And of course, Arnold has put in a lot, raised a lot of money to pass all these.
Uh-huh.
You've also got some large business interests. This does surprise some people, like the California Business Roundtable. The president of that was the representative for Yes on a couple of these in the mini debates that we did. And the business community feels like we got to have some the large business community feels like we got to have some stable environment in which to work, and they don't want business taxes increased. So they said, okay, this is the least best alternative, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah,
it's got to pick between worse and worser. This is worse, but not worser.
Because I saw the big oil companies were backing the proposition.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what, here's the reason for that, my friend. This is so much politics in this call, we don't have time to go. We'd need two couple hours to do it. But one of the things that was proposing in the legislature was an oil severance tax, which would levy the oil companies. This is a tax that is in every other oil-producing state but ours. But the oil companies are definitely afraid of that. They don't want it. So they say, well, look, we'll back these because we don't want that.
Of course. You know, it's a, you know, they don't want to get taxed more, so they're going to put it on the backs of other people.
Well,
anyway.
Real quick, Prop 1C is the lottery initiative. What right. that would do would take $5 billion out of future lottery profits, sell state bonds, take the $5 billion now to help patch the hole, but you have to make payments, the state would, out of its general fund to the tune of it comes out of lottery profits, but the analyst doesn't think the lottery profits will cover all of it, but $300 to $400 million a year for the next 20 to 30 years to pay that off.
Hey, Gary, we've got a break here. I can't thank you enough for being on. And now that we know who you are and your organization, say that again one more time.
Yeah, citizenvoice.org. We'll be happy to talk to you anytime in the future. Call you want to talk about state issues.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Bye-bye.
He's got people fired up, that's for sure. Juice. Got the juice going. We're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I love the tobacco and port in the head there in that walk-in humidor. And, of course, the coffee that you get from Espresso Joe's. Joe and Shelley support this community. They do a lot for our veterans. They are some of our favorite people. Now, just one last thing is, we're going to probably hit it again on Tuesday, but get out and vote. Do not let the special interests, the people with the big bucks that are trying to buy this thing, win. You know, if you haven't already voted by now on your write-in votes, on your absentee ballots, get up, get out that day, and vote. Do not let them buy this. It is too important for our state. And we're going to be addressing a couple other things here. But right now, our guest, and hopefully he's taken enough time that he's here, Fred Salante, who's the president and the founder of the Missing in America Project, which is going to be leaving for Arlington next Wednesday. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Carl.
We need to get you a little bit closer. Okay, Fred. All right, now, so much has happened this last 6 months. You are taking the remains of two Silver Star winners and a Medal of Honor winner from Reading to Arlington. And this must be... Besides the honor, this has been such an undertaking.
Yeah, I think that 10 months ago when I sat with the daughter of Johnny Franklin Callahan and I said, gee, we're going to take him to Arlington, but let's get on some motorcycles and go. I think I never could have imagined the immensity of this project and the logistics to organize it across the 11 states to Arlington.
Well, you know, just putting together that race truck for that, you know, for that fundraiser, you know, that was just a microcosm of what you were doing. So our hat's off to you. Okay, tell us a little bit what's going to happen. We're going to talk about Wednesday, but cross country, tell our audience the things that are going to happen going across the country here.
Well, once we leave Sacramento, the very first night we travel into Nevada. The Nevada State Patrol are going to pick us up. We pick up riders in Carlin, Nevada. At Winnemucca, we got a complete police escort all the way into Elko. Elko has shut the town down, has the schools out, has a parade permit. We're going to a full-time parade downtown with everybody lining the streets and then a big dinner. They've just come out, 150-some riders from Utah and Idaho are coming down. Then it's kind of quiet a bit going across that lonely stretch till we get close to Denver. At Denver, outside of Denver at El Rancho, we'll be met with Buffalo Soldier Contingent. They will lead us in. We will go downtown into Denver for a big church service. and some presentations and stuff. The state of Colorado, 2 days ago, the governor signed a Missing in America bill that allows the funeral homes to give us all the cremains and allows us to get them done. So major, major legislative step, and I think they're going to present us with that law. We then move the next day into Kansas. We get to a little place, Waukini, and American Legion riders, Buffalo soldiers, just interested people, are having a lunch for us with a major parade and event. We then go into Topeka, but I'm getting emails even yesterday from an American Legion group that says 6 miles out of Topeka, we're going to be lining an overpass. So honk when you go by. So this is what's happening. Kentucky, border-to-border police escort, a major, major luncheon and dinner. I mean, I keep saying we're going to go with a few bikes, and we're leaving here with about 50 to 70. I don't know how many hundreds we're going to have going into Elko, how many by Denver. When we get to West Virginia, there's 26 major motorcycle clubs all converging to go with us the last day from Beckley, West Virginia, into Arlington. So, maybe being from Little Reading, we think we get 20, 40, 50 riders, and we think we're really, really doing good. We don't know how many hundreds or thousands we may have going into Arlington from West Virginia.
Well, there's not enough. We want them all.
Well,
you deserve.
I'm
it,
just
Fred.
Overwhelmed, Carl. I mean, well, I'm really overwhelmed.
Fred, you know what? This has been a huge undertaking for Fred Salanta. It's affected his health, and I'm not gonna. You know, Fred would never say anything, but it's affected his health. He's had, who knows what else has come down, but Fred has put that on the back burner because this is something he really cares about. Now, here's what I believe, is that Fred should be out of a job. I believe the government, our Veterans Administration, should be doing this and not have to rely on a private individual or individuals that have to go find this. You know, how hard can this be? I mean, we're spending billions of dollars on taking care of people in Africa. Why not spend $1 million on our honored veterans to make sure that they are interred? Why can't we do something as simple as that? And I'm not just saying this. I mean, I've said this before. And like I said, Fred wishes he was out of a job here, that the government would do this.
We had the great privilege of meeting Callahan's daughter the other night when we went Friday night to hear Dave Barth speak. And it was interesting to hear her story. She's such a lovely lady, and she's decided to make the trip all the way across the country on various, I guess, the backs of various motorcycles. So that should be a great a journey for her as well. But her father's ashes, she had said to us at that event, all my father wanted, I remember as a little girl, all my father wanted was to be buried with honors. And she said, I don't know how she waited. She had his ashes. She waited. And she tried to contact sources and never got replies. And then Fred stepped in, and Fred got the proper channels of where to go, and now the great honor of her father to have the 21-gun salute to be buried at Arlington. It's just it's a miracle unfolding as we watch it.
And it's due to the fact of Major Fred Salanta, Vietnam vet, duck bow. Anyway, let's talk about Wednesday. This is the big send-off from Reading, is on Wednesday. Well, I'm sorry. Something happens, I think, even Tuesday, next on the 19th. Don't we get a proclamation from the Shasta Board of Supervisors, in fact?
Yes, both the City Council and the Shasta County Board of Supervisors are looking at making proclamations to make Wednesday kind of honors at Arlington Day. First of all, everybody, because I've had some comments about people saying, are we invited to come to the send-off? Everybody is invited to come to the send-off, and our three veterans will be taken down by Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapel at 10:30, and they'll be in the Veterans Memorial Hall on Yuba Street, and they'll be there until we depart at 1 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, the Shasta Lake Lions Club has offered to come down and cook hamburgers, hot dogs. We have about four schools with children coming. We would like to invite the public. And
now, this is Wednesday on May 20th at the Reading Vets Hall.
Yes.
Veterans Hall, and that's on Yuba Street next to the post office.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's the story. And so we'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, and a send-off. And at 12 o'clock, we'll start some presentations. And that's it. At 1 o'clock, we'll crank up the motorcycles and go.
Well, that's not just it. There's more to tell you about what's happening that day's with those days' festivities. But we got to take a break right now. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Edith, good morning.
Good morning. I would just like to say thank you very much for taking the time and the effort, and I know it had a toll on your health, your life, and everything for doing this for our veterans. And just to let you know that you're in our prayers for a safe trip, and may everything go perfectly well.
Thank you, Edith. But I want to thank you back because of all the work and the dedication you did to help fix up the car for Carl and Linda, and also to support us. So my thanks are back to you.
Well, you're doing a much grander thing than we were a small piece to that puzzle, but you're taking the grand of the grand of the grand back to where they belong, and I believe that is just the biggest honor ever. So,
Edith, you're such a sweetheart.
We'd like to say that we're behind you 100%, and like I said, our prayers will be with you the whole way.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Edith. And you know, let me tell you about Edith. I think I said, mentioned at the break, she's the one that crawled back in the truck when the truck with we got hit so hard that the fuel line shifted and came off. She crawled in. Talk about somebody who just grabbed a flashlight, stuck it in her teeth, crawled through a little hole, went back there, clock's ticking away. She gets in, it's the fuel line. Is that what it is? The tire's flat there. Boom, boom, boom. Next thing I know, I couldn't believe she's back there with this flashlight underneath this metal case, and she gets the fuel line going, and there's adrenaline going, and we're just, are we going to get back into the last 100 laps? Are we going to get back to the last 100 laps? And boom, the car goes, and that's because Edith has the grit. You go, Edith.
Well, it's like everything else up here. People've got grit. They really do. They've got grit. Now, okay, 11-1 ceremony at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street. That's on Wednesday the 20th. Then we head on down because Linda and I are going also, you know, at least for the first couple of days. We're heading down to Sacramento. And then at 5 o'clock there's going to be a number of things going on, including a presentation of a California flag by Assemblyman Jim Nielsen. The presentation of colors down there. And is there anything else going on down there at ARCO Arena?
Yeah, there's a couple state assembly proclamations that are in process right now that will be supporting us as well. So the same that the city and the county are doing, the state of California, as far as the state assembly, will be doing the same type of a proclamation and presentation.
Well, you know what? That's something the assembly can do very well, because the rest of it, they're not doing too good a job.
Okay, let me get this straight now so we can just, if you're driving and you're just tuning in, we're going to be meeting at the Veterans Hall on the 20th of May. Lunch is served from 11 to 12.
11 to 1.
Okay, and at 1 o'clock is when we start the ceremonies.
No, we're
12 o'clock we start the ceremonies. I just want to say everything's happening between 12 and then we leave.
Right. We're going to be doing, we're starting at 11. The ceremony starts at 12 noon. We're going to, after that, it should take like a half an hour. Ceremony end time is 12:30. Everybody gets on their bikes and everybody leaves. Now, knowing Fred, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So at 1 o'clock, we all leave and we'll be in the mix. I'm so excited about that. We'll be there, as they say, with the kickstands up.
Yep. Kickstands up.
I'm learning
1300.
I'm learning the lingo here. And then we head to Sacramento, where then we are at ARCO Arena in parking lot B.
Right.
And the ceremonies begin the same day on the 20th at 5.
From 5 to 5:30. Now, the next morning, what time do we meet back in ARCO?
Actually, the next morning, we've got a slight change from ARCO. We're going to meet and leave from the Quality Inn on Northgate Boulevard, which is where we'll be spending the night.
Okay.
So we'll simply come out, let people pack up bikes. You'll do the show live from there.
Right.
And then at the end of the show, we'll start the motorcycles and go.
We're going to do from there, from the Quality Inn, when we find out where that's at. And we will be calling in on the 21st, which, by the way, is Linda's birthday also. And we'll be doing the majority of the show from right there before we take off on this. So, Fred, anything else?
No, I just think that we might want one last mention, if you're not going to cover it as well, is that we just thank the North State for all of the support. And we hope to present a good image and a good ride across the nation, and we'll display as many of the supporters that we have so that the whole United States will see that the North State is proud and maybe a little redneck, maybe not, but a very, very patriotic portion of the country.
Can we just close this segment by talking about the generosity of this North State in a time when people are strapped and the economy is down, and how people, we know for ourselves, we would get a letter that just had which was beautiful, a $10 bill where somebody says, please give this to the veterans. How much money did our generous North State give?
Well, we'll have a full accounting towards the end, but the last time that I had the highest at our bank balance before I started paying bills, we had over $54,000 that was donated in tens and $20 from the North State.
Does that make your heart proud?
It does. You know, and we had, you know, sponsors on our truck, you know, you had Crackmaster, $500. $500 from this man for this. I mean, it was unbelievable. Jeff Wurst down there. I mean, this is the kind of people we have up here. Hey, we got to take a break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to shift a little bit and talk about one last proposition that's coming up here, and that's the raising of utilities. And we're going to talk a little bit just about that. And this is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Waking up on the rights and News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Carl. Linda, how are you?
Hey, John.
What's up?
Hey, I got a couple things I want to talk about. The first one is something that just occurred to me a little bit while we were talking about the transport of the deceased veterans. And I'm thinking that since the Patriot Guard is so involved in this and has been for a while, why isn't all the military agencies of the federal government, Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, everybody, chipping in some money to the Patriot Guard to help underwrite this instead of making it an individual process of payment by donation?
Well, that would be nice, and it would be nice if the government would do its job. But since they haven't...
A lot of money away, why don't we put up a groundswell of concern from this and start basing it right here for our concern?
Well, I think, John, that's what's going to happen. This is going to bring a lot of attention. And a lot of people really didn't even... We still talk about it to people that listen to our show and that people we know. We talk about the MIAP. They still don't have a concept of it. This is one thing that this is going to do, taking it all the way across the country. It's going to raise awareness.
I'm getting mad because it really hurts me to hear that guy, was it Fred?
Yeah.
Fred, yeah.
He's losing his health over this. And, I mean, it's probably not the total reason for it, but why should he have to sacrifice what he has left without any reward except for doing the right thing?
Oh, it's an act of love, I tell you that. But you're right, you know, and this is why I said this is just the beginning. We need to bring this up and have, you know, we ought to get, you know, Wally Herger off the dime and get him going on this and just introduce a resolution in the Congress.
Well, we need to all get busy, and we can. We all have some way to communicate, even if it's on a piece of paper.
Okay. Hey, John, we got to run here.
Wait a minute, I got one thing we got to talk about.
Okay.
Lindy's show.
Oh.
It's not listed on the Cascade Theater site. It needs to be. What's the date of it? And can we get tickets at the Cascade box office and where else? And Linda, congratulations. I think it's terrific you're doing it at the Cascade.
Thank you. I actually think that they send their programs out today. It's August 15th. Tickets, I think, go on sale by the end of this month. I just heard from Valerie Ingmiller that it was, it's officially going out in their flyer, and it should be going up in the website. I think she said, I guess by this weekend. So thanks for inquiring.
Hey,
August
15th. Fantastic. I'm going to volunteer to work the show.
thanks
a lot, John.
I'll see you guys. Have a good day.
Hey, we have another guest here, somebody that's really helped out the Missing in America project. I mean, he's been a backer from the very beginning, Doug LaMoffa. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Carl, Linda, how are you doing?
Morning.
Plus, Doug's been a friend of ours,
yes,
too. Even if we haven't always...
You're great friends of mine. I appreciate it. Now,
even if we haven't always agreed with you.
And you get things done. So, what? Tell us what's...
Well, that's the bottom line. We're just hanging around downtown here at the pancake breakfast here, so we're still flipping if anybody's missed out on it.
Well, what do you think about this Missing in America project there?
I think it's an awesome project there. I know that some really, really good friends are pushing that. You know, Supervisor Hartman, I was just talking with her about it the other night.
Linda Hartman has been a real backer. In fact, Linda and her husband are heading across country with us, driving a van and I think an RV to help out people there that may have some problems along the way.
Yeah, that's tremendous. So it's certainly worth supporting, and you would think it'd be a standard a standard for someone that's been in the service that if you know, there's no one there to take care of the remains, you would think the federal government would automatically take care of something like that.
I think it's crazy.
But
I think this is a time, if you know, people need to call Congressman Herger. They need to call Congressman Herger. They need to call his office. They need to call his reps out here, Dave Mayer. If you go to our website, freefireradio.com, it shows you how to get a hold of him. Or you just, you know, you look it up in your phone book, look in the paper, call Congressman Herger. Ask him why the Missing in America project has not gone national level. Why hasn't a resolution been introduced to so that we don't have to raise money ourselves? And even though it's a work of love, it's an honor that we do this.
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely. Yep.
But why isn't the Veterans Administration do this? Why does one man have to figure this out?
Well, you know, knowing Wally's great care for veterans issues in the past, it's only something I've only been made aware of about a year ago myself, and we honored the gentleman there that's been pushing it up here as our Veteran of the Year last year. I think it's an awesome project. So
absolutely,
you know, I imagine whether it's going to be at the federal level or state level, we'll find a way to
do that,
push this, and at least take an attempt to have our veterans honored properly when they don't have anybody to take care of their remains.
Hey, so, Doug,
but it's an awesome project, and my hat's off to everybody that wants to make
this
go.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Hey, Doug, we got to run. We're at a hard break here. Hey, thanks a lot, and have a great time down there. Wow. You know, we didn't get to the one about the raising of utilities. We'll get to that Monday. But, hey, this is a big thing. You need to pay attention to this on the utilities being raised. We're going to talk about that Monday morning. Our guest also will be Sheriff Tom Basenko, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?